Suppose every person who was ever born could still be alive today. Would the earth be able to contain them? I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Today we're going to continue our study of the future millennium of peace when God's people will be with him in the place he prepared for them. Now that's the paradise home in heaven, of course. At the second coming of Christ, all the righteous will be taken there. We learned also that the wicked will be destroyed at his coming, and the earth will be turned into a chaos. During the 1,000 years, the righteous are in heaven. There's a period of orientation, if you please, a period of rest. The Bible tells us that during this time, the righteous will have access to the record books. You know, I have an idea that on the trip to heaven, there'll be some puzzled expressions on the faces of some, because I have an idea that we may look around and be just a bit surprised at some of the folks we see, folks that we never thought would be there. Oh, friends, you and I have no business sitting in judgment on anybody else, do we? God is the judge. If you and I could see into a man's heart and see into his motives, then perhaps we could be in a position to judge. However, we shouldn't judge anybody else except ourselves. Now, during these 1,000 years, the righteous are going to have access to the books to see why it is that some whom they thought would be there are not. You see, in God's great plan, when it's all over and sin and sinners are finally disposed of, the demonstration is going to be so complete in the minds of all that never again will affliction rise up again the second time. In fact, the Bible tells us that in Nahum 1, verse 9. Never again is sin going to rise. Why? Because the righteous are going to be so satisfied that God's way was best, that God did the only thing with the emergency of sin that he could have done. Therefore, there's a period of 1,000 years when the righteous will have opportunity to look through the record books and see why those are lost who are and those are saved who are. Christ gives his reward at the second coming, and death seals our destiny. I think there need be no misunderstanding here. Now, during the 1,000 years, conditions on this earth are not what we'd call ideal. In fact, the Bible says this earth will be without form and void, dark, empty, nobody here but the devil and his evil angels. The wicked dead are in their graves, of course, or else their bodies are strewn over the earth, and the righteous are in heaven. We found that out in our last broadcast. Now, what happens at the conclusion of the 1,000 years, friends? As we read on in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, we discover here the prophecy of the return of the saints to this earth and the return of the New Jerusalem, because it's going to settle right here on the surface of this planet. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation 20, verse 1. Then the New Jerusalem comes down to this earth with Christ and the righteous within. Now, what happens when it does descend, friends? The 20th chapter continues the narrative, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Verse 7. Now, let me see how closely you've been following. If the thing that chained Satan here, that tied his hands, was the fact that he had nobody to tempt and nothing to do during that 1,000 years, then what would it be that looses him? You say a resurrection, and of course that's right. We've already discovered that the wicked are resurrected at the close of the 1,000 years. Verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So when Christ returns and the New Jerusalem comes down, the wicked are resurrected. Now we'll discover why as we read further. Satan, in verse 8, it says, Satan shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, friends, here is the key verse. And they, that is the wicked, went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now that's verse 9. Satan is loosed. He marshals his armies, and I can imagine him saying as he sees the righteous inside the city with Jesus, whom he hates desperately, all right, this is our last chance. You see, he has the great warlords from the beginning of time. many great, mighty, intelligent men who've been lost because they've not accepted Jesus Christ. And I can imagine him marshaling his forces and saying, look, let's go take the city away from them. There are more of us than there are of them. Let's take the city and it'll be our home throughout eternity. But then fire comes down from God out of heaven, the Bible says, and devours them. Sinners, the devil, all trace of wickedness, of filth, of the contagion, of the epidemic of sin from this earth will be eradicated and the earth will be purified. I want to tell you, friends, where I want to be when Satan dies. I want to be inside that city and I want you to be there with me. That's why we're preaching these messages day by day on the Amazing Facts broadcast. Now, somebody might be saying, well, why is it that God's going to resurrect the wicked again, seemingly just to destroy them? And I think we can understand at least a reason or two for this. You remember we mentioned a moment ago that everyone is going to be satisfied when this whole drama comes to an end, that God's way is best, and that God did with the wicked the only thing that a loving God could do. They wouldn't be happy in heaven. It wouldn't be fair to take them there. Neither can he be just and loving and merciful and kind and torture them throughout eternity. Now, what else could God do but cause them to be as though they had not been? The wicked are resurrected, and the last act of their lives is an act of rebellion as they go up and try to take the city from the redeemed. And then it is that fire comes down out of heaven and devours them. I believe that there will be satisfaction in the minds of those within that city that God has done the only thing with the sin problem that he possibly could have done. The demonstration is going to be complete and satisfying. Oh, I have an idea there are going to be some tears shed. The Bible says God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 20, verse 4. I don't think God's going to blot out some brain cells and say, now just forget about those loved ones outside the city. I believe there are going to be some tears shed on that day, but God's going to wipe them away. And one thing that will help to eradicate those tears is the knowledge that God, in his mercy and love and justice, did the only thing that a loving God could do. Now, friends, it seems to me at this point that this puts a tremendous responsibility upon us for our loved ones and friends and neighbors. How we long to have them inside that city with us when the wicked and Satan and his evil cohorts are destroyed. Every righteous person inside is saved forever. Every wicked person outside is lost forever. And when I use the term wicked here, I'm not thinking merely of deviants and professional criminals, but rather those who have walked in the pathway of partial obedience. Those who've said, well, I'll get this close to what God expects, but I wouldn't want to go all the way. I think my way's good enough. Remember, there is no middle ground in this great controversy. There are only those who have gone all the way with Jesus and those who have not. I think the Bible's too plain here for us to misunderstand. Now, although the Bible gives us no details of it, still it's possible that before the wicked are finally destroyed, God is going to open before them a great panoramic view of the plan of salvation. The Bible says that before the wicked are destroyed, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Christ, that God's way was best. And it seems likely, on the basis of that verse and some of these other verses in the latter part of Revelation 20, that God is actually going to open a great panoramic view here. The books are opened, and the plan of salvation is rehearsed before them. I like to think of it as God's great panorama there, perhaps set up in the sky above the New Jerusalem. And there, before the wicked are destroyed, they see reenacted, as it were, the plan of salvation. I can imagine they're seeing Eve walk up to the tree, tempted and deceived as she is by the evil one, reaching up to take that fruit, and that great throng shouting out in chorus, Eve, don't touch it, knowing as they do now all the evil that would follow in its train. Before long, they begin to see the effect of the curse of sin upon the earth. Cain slays his brother. Death haunts our planet. One after another, the great dramas and the plan of salvation is enacted before their eyes. Then they see God sending his Son, and Jesus walking up that hill, carrying a cross on his shoulder, dying so that they would not have to. They see what they could have had and have lost because of their unconcern. You know, I'm convinced the more I study this great facet of the plan of salvation, that the punishment of the wicked is not going to be as much in the physical torment which they endure when they're devoured by the flames which fall,
but rather by the unutterable anguish as they recognized what could have been theirs inside the city, which they lost. In the Bible, it says fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 says it will burn them up. Nahum 1:8 says it will make an utter end. They'll be ashes as though they had not been. They'll consume into smoke. Into smoke shall they consume away. These are all expressions that the Bible uses in describing the way those wicked are going to be wiped out of existence. God is going to bring to an utter end the reign of sin. He's not going to perpetuate sin and pain and agony on this earth, friends. He's not going to immortalize wicked, evil men. He's going to bring it to an end. That's the reason for the second coming of Jesus. We believe something less than the truth about God if we fall for that deception that God is going to torture man throughout eternity. Oh no, friends, God is going to restore everything to what it was in the beginning. You remember our text in Acts 3:21 says, when Jesus comes, it'll be a time of the restitution of all things as it was in the beginning. Now, in the beginning, there was no immortal, wicked nature, friends, to suffer. No, no, in the beginning there was no sin at all. And God's perfect final plan is going to be a beautiful, sinless world in which sinless people will live. And there will be no dark place of suffering. During the millennium, the saints have had an opportunity to look over the record books and discover how good God is in His dealings. Every knee bows, according to the Bible now. Every tongue confesses God's way was best after all. Then fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the earth was purified and made holy again. The rebellion against the government of heaven is forever over. Everybody in the universe is now satisfied. Sin and sinners are no more. One pulse of beauty and harmony beats through the entire universe. The righteous look forward to a glorious eternity with their Lord. God's tomorrow, friends, will be better than today. When Satan dies, you and I must be inside that city, friends, that gleaming, crystal-white, transparent city of gold. When the wicked are destroyed, I want to be there protected. And I want to have my loved ones with me and my family and my neighbors and every one of you who's listening today. I wonder just now how many of you with me would like to say, by the grace of God, it's my desire that when Satan dies, I am going to be inside the walls of that holy city. Yes, friends, and then the wicked on the outside will be burned up, and God will restore this world. It says that He'll make it over again. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then the saints of God will have a city home inside the New Jerusalem. They'll be able to go out and dwell also in this beautiful recreated earth in which there'll never be another bit of suffering, no more pain, no more death. What a day that will be. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.